Hello, everyone, and welcome along to Northumberland FA podcast series from the sidelines with myself, Gary Middleton, and special guest today, coach development lead at Staffordshire FA, UEFA B coach developer, Martin Irvine. Martin, pleased to have you on today's call. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Gary. I really appreciate the invite and looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, great, Martin. Martin, can you just before we start, just let everyone know a little bit about yourself and what you're up to in football at present?
Yeah, so as you alluded to, a coach developer on the UEFA B licence. I've delivered now for 3 years on the UEFA C licence as well. And I'm the coach development lead for Staffordshire FA, so helping support sort of grassroots clubs and the coach development network that we've got going there in terms of delivering sort of demands of the coaches for their CPD and their continuous development. Qualification wise, we've got the UEFA A licence, UEFA A Elite Youth licence, the FA Advanced Youth Award, and an honours degree in sports fitness and coaching. So it's certainly been a long journey of learning to try and give back to the game.
Yeah, it's interesting what you say there, Martin, the journey and how long that takes to gain that knowledge and experience and skill set. And that's the theme that we're going to discuss today, Martin, is developing our coaching craft. So I suppose the first thing I'm going to say to you, why is it important that we continually need to develop our coaching craft?
I think something that I was told quite early on in my coaching career is that the minute or the second that you think you've mastered it is the second that you'll go backwards. Mm-hmm. The game's ever evolving. Listen, the principles of play and phase moments of the game never change. They will never change, but the way that players behave and the randomness of the game is something I think you could, and I say this to the learners on the coaching courses, that you could try and coach every single moment of every single game and you will never be able to, because something else will pop up. And again, it's getting quicker. I think the game is getting much, much quicker physically, technically, and tactically. Now players are becoming more aware of the why, and they need that from us as coaches. So I think we need to continually learn our craft as the game is ever evolving, and give the players what they need, really.
Absolutely, yeah. Martin, we see coaches attending courses to gain qualifications, complete qualifications, but then sometimes the learning ends. The learning process needs to continue after that qualification. Am I right in saying?
Absolutely. I think qualifications are great and are probably, you know, a certificate that gets you through the door or gives you a new format, a way of delivering. But I think the learning must continue and you must go out onto the grass as much as you can. Go and try ideas. Go and actually deliver content and sessions and continuously learn and reflect from it. I think it's great to, you know, attend. We were speaking off air just that it's great to attend these face-to-face days as learners and speak with other coaches who are probably in your situation or your same scenario. But then we go back to our clubs and we probably don't speak to coaches within our clubs. So I think clubs could probably do a little bit more in terms of getting the coaches together and sharing good practice. But again, a license or a qualification is just that. The learning is continuous after that. And you need to go and consolidate. And I'm sure we'll come onto it shortly, but consolidate that learning of what level you have then gone and been, you know, studied at before you even think about moving forward. I think a lot of the time we can just skim over the surface of what we've engaged with rather than actually embracing it.
I'm gonna just discuss that with you, Martin, in a bit more detail. I think from my experience, and I'm presuming your experience as well, when a learner's completed that level, whether it's the I2CF, the UEFA-C, the UEFA-B, I think it's important to go away and develop your skill set at that level and get out on the grass and learn from what works well. As you just mentioned, what the players need in that particular group that you're working with. and learn from our mistakes as coaches. Not so much mistakes, but what's worked well, what hasn't worked well, what we could use moving forward. And as you rightly say, great, we consolidate that learning over a period of time to really develop our skill set.
Yeah, I'll give you a great example. Like on the old youth awards, again, like most coaches will, is they want to get the next one. So I'd attended youth award module one, module two, and then I'd gone on to module three probably in the space of about 9 months. And then I was surrounded by some incredibly inspiring and knowledgeable coaches and realized I hadn't consolidated any of the learning. So you, at the time before your assessment, you were allowed 2 years, and I spent 6 months really focusing on module one, creating the environment. How are you getting the players back in? How are you keeping them there? Module two, 6 months later, developing your practices, understanding what the players needed at what age and stage. And then certainly module three was understanding the players and the psych and social stuff of why do they turn up every week? Why does, you know, little Jimmy want to play right wing? Is it because he's quick? Is it because he can cross a ball? Or is it because his dad tells him he's playing there, or mum says he's got to play in this position? So really got to understand the players and the content from that youth award before I even considered assessment. And that stood me in really good state. And even then, looking back at the old sort of level two qualifications I'd done, looking back at the actual content from the old technical hand guide and really breaking down what the players needed and how I could deliver that to them in the best way possible with detail that would be that they'd understand it, and not giving them all this jargon. Because, you know, I'm not sure your thoughts on this, Gary, but we hear a lot of buzzwords at the minute. And, you know, and listen, if you can go and add content and detail with it, then that's absolutely fine. But I'm hearing at the minute, like, under eights coaches saying we need to press. What does a press mean, or what does it look like for a 7-year-old, an 8-year-old? And what do you see it as? Just because you see it on Match of the Day or Monday Night Football, does that replicate what it looks like for the under eights in the 5v5 format? And I would say it doesn't, because, you know, you break that down, then the players probably aren't able to accelerate and decelerate or twist and turn as effectively as a fully developed individual. So yeah, really going out and seeing what your players need and how you can make them better is consolidating that learning that you brought in.
Yeah, that language is really important, isn't it? Mm-hmm. With the age group and the age and stage of where them players are at. Another one that I heard was breaking lines, and it was with an under-8 team. I'm not sure an under-8, a 7-year-old understands what breaking the lines is. You know, they're playing with their friends, having fun, chasing around. So I've got to be really careful with the language that we use. And interesting what you said about the timings in between, Martin. Just as another example, I think, was when I did my UEFA down at Lillishaw, and the second, it was when you did a 10-day content, and then you came back for the second year. And a lot of the learners that were in that group that I was in came back the second year. I actually had 2 years out just to consolidate me learning around what I'd learned that first year. Didn't think I was quite ready to go back the following year, but had another year, and then went back and was in a better place of my understanding and skill set around the course content, you know. So I think it's vitally important that we take on board, I think we take on board feedback from people like yourself as coach developers, coach educators, that we're trying to support them individuals and give them the right environment to develop that skill set for whatever level they're
I think as well, coaching at. With coaches, we always want it done now, yesterday. Embrace maybe that struggle of like you mentioned there, not being ready. So if you've just gone onto the ITCF and you're going onto the C license and you're starting to really go into the details of principles of play and what that looks like for your teams and your age and stage, if you're not sure yet, that's okay. Really go out and sort of embrace the struggle, but the difficulty and the uncertainty of what do I want my teams to look like? How am I going to develop the players, and how am I going to use the principles of play to fundamentally move that forward as an absolute baseline for these teams. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot of coaches now certainly coming onto the C license and sort of having that oh crap moment of I don't know what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, we need to support them as developers to go, okay, it's like taking a driving test, isn't it? Like, you know, you can be there with the learner, but you can't actually take the test for them. Mm-hmm. So we can support them, but we can't actually go and deliver the session for them. Mm. And that was maybe a trap I fell into when I first went into mentoring and development, is that it's not my journey. I need to help guide you to find what you want and what you need.
Yeah, Martin. I think from a personal point of view, I've learned so much from observing other coaches and taking traits away from others to develop my skill set, my coaching craft. What are your takes on observation and how important that is in our development?
I think it's key. However, one thing I would add to that is understanding context. So we might go and observe a coach and you know, watch a 60-minute session and be like, oh my goodness, how are you at that stage? Or you might, and I think we're all quite prone to it, as well, watch a session and go, well, I'd change this, I'd change that. Understand the why. So why is that coach? And maybe ask the questions before, after, what was your thinking behind this? Why were you asking that player to do that? Why did you add that constraint in? Why was your session designed so small or so large? And, you know, they may then tell you, well, Jimmy, Johnny and Sarah need this, hence why we're doing that. So it's very easy to go in and have a very small snapshot and be quite judgmental without understanding the context. So mm-hmm. I think being observational and observing other coaches is absolutely vital to helping understand your journey.
Mm. Yeah, great point, Martin. Martin, you've been one yourself. Having a mentor or someone a little bit more experienced than you, it might be you're at UEFA C level and they might be a B, they might be in there. How important is that, you know, someone you can look up to, you can observe yourself, but they also give you feedback around your coaching and where you're at on your journey?
I think in football, it takes a lot for somebody to go and ask for that support. Coaching can be very, very lonely. Certainly if you're coaching on your own, you've not got, you know, a ghost coach or support coach or a parent to help, it can be lonely, and you know, you will get probably a lot of pelters for doing a certain thing. But I think having somebody to maybe just have open and honest conversations with them and bounce some ideas off, and it gives that sort of a little bit of clarity and understanding for yourself of going, well, I am doing the right things for the right reasons. Yes, it's been great to try this, for example, but having a mentor who's probably a little bit experienced could throw a different lens on and go, have you thought about this? What are your thoughts on that? Have you thought about tweaking this in your practice? And maybe just opening up an avenue to something that you don't know, because we don't know what we don't know, right?
Yeah.
So somebody else has got that experience, knowledge, or an extra set of eyes of seeing something different, it can then open up your eyes to a different way of working, or maybe just a different way of delivering your delivery style, or just even your session design.
Yeah, open-minded. We need to be open-minded. I'm sure from your development, Martin, you've been open-minded to discussion with others and taking on advice, as you say, being curious to learn more and for you to evolve your skill set.
I think for me, the more I've gone through the qualifications over the last sort of 20 years and various CPDs, the more I think I know, I actually realise the less I know.
Yeah, great point. Know,
at every point, you know, I think, oh, okay, I'm at a level now. I can be quite competent at delivering this. And then you're going to have a conversation with somebody, or you'll attend a CPD, and you'll go, oh my gosh, how have I not thought of that? Or I love that idea. And I think, you know, selfishly for me, being a mentor and a coach developer at some points, it's led me to see some really, really good practices and ideas, you know, at grassroots levels with, you know, junior or learner coaches. And, you know, I think on the flip side, being able to give them that praise and that confidence, saying, you know, that's really good what you've been doing. And it's a great idea and I'm going to steal it.
Mm.
Because, you know, we're all the greatest of thieves, aren't we, as coaches?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Which leads us nicely, the importance of attending county FA coach development CPD events, England Learning CPD events, the importance of what you've getting from them and what possibly coaches that you've supported have gained from jumping on events like this to develop their coaching craft.
I think it's been able to provide sort of an environment where coaches can come in and openly discuss maybe their not struggles but the things that their experiences and having somebody who's probably in a similar situation go, well, do you know what, we experienced that, or I'm experiencing this player and or this individual that is either striving and how do I make them better, or they're really struggling and how do I help them, and you know, maybe opening their eyes to the physical development and the psychological development. Again, if you're working with under 12s, they've just gone to high school, if that's the model in the area of that. So, you know, the adolescent brain, there's so much that players and individuals are complex. And I think as coaches, we need to sort of have that wider lens and that knowledge of how to develop and deal with it, and doing it from a point of view where there's people who've experienced it and can share that knowledge.
Yeah, I was saying, Martin, that having a blend and a mix of learning, of getting out on the grass, learning from what works well, what doesn't work so well, for the players that you're working with in the agent stage where they are, the format that they're playing, but also learning from others' support mechanisms. I think it's having that blend, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's no one way to skin a cat, is there? So I think if you can get as much experience, as much knowledge, and as much sort of feedback as you can then judge your own sort of coaching philosophy or playing philosophy from that. I think if we try and force a certain way onto players that doesn't work, we're then ultimately letting them down. So we need to, and it goes back to what I was saying quite early on, is that we need to create an environment where players want to come back. They know that you care, and you know that you're actually developing your practices to help improve them holistically, not just at getting the ball forward and scoring goals. Are they able to receive under pressure both sides? Are they comfortable to take a player on? Are they actually comfortable to lose the ball and be confident and comfortable enough to recover? You know, these things, and that comes down to your environment. What environment are we as coaches setting to allow the players to thrive? And are we putting them under pressure to get results when results don't really matter?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Martin, there's lots of resources out there for coaches and just some of the stuff, and you can jump in a second and see what's happening around Staffordshire. But you know, we work really well with the with our professional club, Newcastle United, and we have events on a seasonal basis where coaches have the opportunity to go in and observe their staff working in their environment. And again, you mentioned around being careful with the context of where they're working and how that what that looks like in your environment, from online stuff like this, from the sidelines, online hubs where there's ultimately presentations, video footage again for coaches to observe from CPD events, with England Learning, with county coach developers. So there's a lot of stuff out there, for coaches to learn from and develop that craft. What would be your top tips for coaches out there that are really keen on developing? They might be starting their coaching journey because their daughter or son started to play. It might be a young coach that's finished playing 16, 18, that ultimately wants to start a career in coaching. What would be your top tips, Martin, for anyone listening in?
I think first and foremost, there's so much information out there and so many resources, which is fantastic. I'm not sure about you, Gary, but when I sort of started at 18, there wasn't a lot out there, so you had to go and probably speak with people. And at the time, I would say it was probably a bit more of a closed shop. I think now there's so much content and there's so many good people working in the game that they're happy and willing to share ideas. Certainly, take a step and have a think of where you want to be and where you are right now and what you and your players need. So it might just be, as you mentioned there, if you're a parent who you know, has done the wonderful task of stepping in to make sure that kids have got a team, go and understand what match day behaviours might look like, or what session designs, session management might look like, of trying to control, or not control, but deliver a session to, you know, 10, 8-year-olds, engaging sessions and making sure that they're fun and it's a safe learning environment, and understanding where you are and where your players are. Again, it's a scary and lonely world at times, coaching, and it's probably one where you get a lot of opinions from outside. So you might be that parent who's now stepped up to deliver, but you will have that parent going, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And I would certainly encourage them to embrace that and say, you can come and help us. You know, once you do your DBS checks and everything else, you can come and help us. But go and try not to drown yourself with it. Take it in small, bite-sized chunks of what you want and what you need right now. But certainly go and be open and be reflective of what you're doing. You mentioned it earlier, you know, delivering and then understanding and thinking what went well, what could I do better? I think at times as coaches, we can sort of put that to the side a little bit. Mm. That's really, really important to reflect and go, do you know what? I really enjoyed this in the session. This was good. This could have gone better. Maybe less breaks in me, or less drinks breaks, or less people standing around. And next time, what I might do is I might get, you know, two practices going on rather than one. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's again, just experimenting, learning, and ultimately failing. And I wouldn't say that it's failing as the right word. It's trying and understanding that, right, next time it's going to be better. And as long as you're continuously putting out good stuff with the right intentions, go and seek as much knowledge as you can from as many people as you can, because the game is so, so vast and so varied and so random that, when, again, alluding to it, when you think you've just mastered something, mm. something will come up and you'll go, how do I deal with this?
Martin, it's been a pleasure having you on from the sidelines today. Many thanks for giving up your time and sharing your knowledge with us. And we'll hopefully speak to you soon.
Cheers, Guy. Thank you for having us on, and wish you all the best moving forward.
Cheers, Martin.
Cheers, Guy. Thank you.